keeping track, if we want to have the bad things removed from our accounts, how can we influence God to do that? Say it again.
We become justified.
Yeah, but how do we become? He justifies us. He justifies us. We cannot justify ourselves. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Propitiation.
Okay. And that was Jesus' work. And how do we...
Our faith.
Thank you. Right. Okay. So belief. That's what Romans is talking about. Belief. Many times it says belief. And you said belief in Jesus Christ. Right. Ever since he has died, specifically belief in Jesus Christ. Now, does anybody have the questions from Romans 4? Okay. That's fine if you do or if you don't. One of the... Question number 3. Was explain verses 4 and 5 in Romans chapter 4 in your own words. I think that's what I said, right? Anyone? Explain verses 4 and 5 in your own words. You don't have to. I'll volunteer.
Well, it's kind of tough not to use the words that are there.
Yeah.
Say it again?
It's kind of tough to use the words that are not already there because it's pretty plain.
Right.
When you work, you get paid.
Right.
You should. And it's in exchange. That does not work with forgiveness of sins because there's no work that we can do
to
earn that.
To earn it.
Right. We must believe on him who God sent.
Right. Can't work for it.
Right.
Must believe. Anybody else? Anything else? I ask... Gary, what was the 3A?
3A. With this in mind, does this or any other text altogether exclude the role of works in justification? James 2 talks about this.
Okay.
We talked about this a little bit last week. There's lots of passages in Romans that talk about it as well.
Actually, specifically the question was, does any text exclude... In other words, can you find a text that explicitly says or implicitly says no works? You can't do anything to be saved. Depends on the wording there, right?
Yeah.
So James deals with it positively. He says not only is there no place... Okay, we're going to talk about these things. Okay, we're going to camp out here all day today. It's going to be lots of fun. Then, regarding our acts of salvation, in a way you could say...
What word were you looking for there?
That's what I'm...
Oh. Obedience doesn't quite...
Nobody.
I don't get it.
What
do I normally ask?
Purpose.
That didn't work either. As you say, you have too many spaces.
P-U-R-P-O-S-E. Space. M-A-T-T-E-R-S. I must have...
Yours doesn't look like ours.
It doesn't, sorry guys.
Matters is already in there.
Oh, matters is already in there.
You have 11 spaces. 11 spaces, and then you have the word matters.
Oh. P E R. P E R. S P E. Perspective. Sorry, guys. Perspective matters. Right. I know, it's usually purpose, and that's what I have written down here, but I obviously changed that because it's more perspective matters, although they're directly related, right? What's your perspective determines what your purpose is, okay? All right, so there, that was lots of fun. In fact, I'll have perspective later on up on the board. So there you go. All right, so we are going to talk about works today. That's, you know, when you're mowing the lawn, you got to mow the lawn, and there's a thick clump of grass over there. What happens to the lawnmower? It bogs down, but you keep on going, don't you? You're cutting some hardwood with your circular saw, and then you hit a big knot. What happens? First of all, it's, to begin with, unless you have a Makita, and then it hits that knot, and it slows down even more. Okay, Romans is thick stuff, and we're going to talk about today. All we're going to talk about today is works. We're going to be in the text, but not really going through the text. All right. So What I'm going to need is your help to make this fun and engaging. Otherwise, I'll just be monologuing. Anyone? Anyone? All right. The Calvinist says about all of Romans and Romans 4 and 5. John MacArthur, a strong Calvinist. Okay, he's a 5-point. You can't even believe on your own. All right. Broadening his argument from Abraham to all men, Paul, that is, the apostle here makes it clear that the forensic act of declaring a man righteous is completely apart from any kind of human work. All right, you're going to read words. Forensic act means the initial act of justification. Okay, forensic and initial here are basically being used the same. All right, if salvation were on the basis of one's own effort, God would owe salvation as a debt. But salvation is always a sovereignly given gift of God's grace. Chapter 3, verse 24, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. To those who believe, compare chapter 1, verse 16. Since faith is contrasted with work, faith must mean the end of any attempt to earn God's favor through personal merit. All right, so we're going to look at that. And if you're on your game, we'll come back to this later on. We have to understand something, and most of us, I'm sure, do. In a spiritual context, there are at least two subsets of acts. You can get these notes later on if you'd like them. Norman Geisler, a moderate Calvinist, so he, and we'll see him and MacArthur's rule arguing later on. All works are actions, but not all actions are works. We agree with this. Okay, here are actions. Actions. And here's a group of works. Okay, so there are works, and they are actions, but then there are some actions over here that are not works. That's what he's saying here. And we agree 100% with that. All works are actions, but not all actions are works. All right. Clear? Good, because now it gets fun. All right. One type of act is an act that is not prompted or accompanied by faith in God, and thinking this act in itself is the basis for or qualifies me inherently for justification, end quote. So sorry. And act number two, in contrast to that, is prompted by or accompanied by faith in God, and two, thinking I have sinned, and therefore I will always fall short of the glory of God, and therefore never can restore myself to justified, and thinking this act itself is not the basis for my justification. The basis is God's mercy and grace, but it is a God-given condition for salvation. We're going to look at both of these. So don't worry, I didn't just fly over that and move on, because we must get this. This is very important to get. Stop me anywhere along the line that you're not understanding what I have just said. We're going to keep going. All right. So Romans, can you see that? Can you see the line? Everybody can see everything. Okay, let's turn. Not prompted, not accompanied by faith. That's one kind of act. One part of one kind of act. Romans 9:32. You have to circle this passage, I suggest, because you need to understand this to understand what Paul is doing in the book of Romans. In chapter 9, verse 32, well, verse 31, Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. Look, they weren't involving faith in it. It was just, I'm going to do this. Let me do this, let me do this. Now, we understand right here, the only part of going to this verse is to understand faith and works were not accompanied with this type of action. Faith and acts is what I should say, all right? Faith and... Okay. Now, on top of that, on the basis of this, just doing this act is the basis for my forgiveness, okay? It qualifies me inherently. Remember, chapter 2, they bear the name Jew. I am a Jew, which goes hand in hand with 25. Circumcision. I do circumcision and that's it. I don't have to believe. I'm circumcised. That's their argument. That's what he's countering. You remember Luke 18. Luke 18... The Pharisee stood up. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 9. He told this parable of some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went into the parable to pray. Verse 10, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. And see verse 9? They were trusting in themselves that they that doing these things made them righteous. Okay. Back up to chapter 9, verse... Turn to Matthew 23. Not only are they not thinking about God, that's what they're not thinking about. What are they thinking about? Well, in one situation, Matthew 23 and verse 5, they do all their deeds thinking, putting their trust in God. No, that's not what they're thinking. What are they thinking? Their deeds to be noticed by... That's what they're thinking when they're doing these deeds, or at least that's... overall, what they're thinking. Is that relatively clear? Okay, that's easy. The next part will be easy too. All right? We're going to contrast this type of acts now with these acts. And we're just going to do the same thing again. These acts are prompted by faith. Is this the not symbol? Or the mathematical not symbol? I forget what the not symbol is. Is it? I've forgotten. It's been too long. Okay. But I'm using it as not Romans. Okay, so Romans 9 and verse 32 says, look, they're not doing it by faith. Well, Paul is countering that. So Paul is talking about acts that are done by faith. So we don't even have to turn to James 22 or Hebrews 11. We understand that Paul in the very book is talking about acts that are done by faith. But let's turn to Hebrews 11 first. Hebrews 11 verse 32, what shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith, okay, there's the faith component, conquered kingdoms, and listen, performed acts of righteousness. Can you think of anybody in the Old Testament, especially in the evil kingdom, the northern kingdom, that conquered some other kingdoms? Yes, I can. You can read about it in the Old Testament. Did they do it by faith? No. So you have the same exact act. Some do it without faith, and some do it accompanied by faith, or maybe even prompted by faith, but at least accompanied by faith, okay? That's what he's saying here. Look, some people did it by faith, and you know that some people did not. The second category of act is one that is accompanied by faith, James 2 in verse 22, which Gary referred to earlier. I was thinking about reading the whole thing. You know the text. Verse 22 alone. You see that faith was working with his works. You see there's a work that faith doesn't work with, and then there's a work that faith works with. Okay. Category 1 doesn't work with that. Doesn't work. Faith doesn't work with that act. Category 2, faith works with that act. This is nothing new for us. Okay. And you have sinned. So this act is accompanied by faith, maybe even prompted by faith, accompanied by faith, and you are thinking, also not only trusting in God, but I can't do anything to save myself. Romans 3. All have sinned, past tense, and fall short of the glory of God now, present tense, continuous. If you're alive, you have sinned in the past, and now are falling short of the glory of God. Now, this is interesting. This means this is not talking about our works, because is there a moment when we're not sinning, at least when we're sleeping, and hopefully a whole lot more than that. If this were talking about our works, then every time we don't sin, we would be hitting the glory of God. We'd be up there. We'd be hitting the standard. But he's saying, look, you never hit the standard. So this isn't talking about our action. This is talking about our guilt. Once we have sinned, we can never get back to the glory of God. We can't do it. This is extremely important to understand, for a Christian to understand, and understand how God's method of salvation works. It's all based on the fact that you can't go back in time and undo what you've done. You can't do it. So you will forever, since that first sin, boom, you're down here. You've fallen. Okay, clear? All right, let's go on for a few more minutes. I know minutes. All right, and therefore the basis is God's mercy. It's not my work, it's God's mercy. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved. Verse 8, I'm in. Yeah, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, it's not as a result of you. You can't. Once you have sinned and fallen short, you will always fall short, and you can never get back up there. So if you are back up there, it is only because of God's grace, no matter what you have done. 2 Timothy 1:9 says the same thing. 2 Timothy 1:9, He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was granted in us from Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, He saved us, not on the basis of what we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Okay? So, it is up to... This other class of acts are done thinking about God, prompted by Him, trusting in Him, also thinking, I've sinned, and I can never get back up there. I can't do it. So, no matter what I do, if I ever do get back up there, it's not because of me, it's because of God. Okay? Now, with all that, there is also the idea of God-given conditions for salvation. James 2, we see it in. Mark 16:16. He who has believed and is baptized will be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent. And we can go on and on and on and on and on, for the promise is, you're all right. So we have these conditions. Let me just go on for another minute. First of all, is everybody, this is not rocket science for anybody so far. The only thing to get so far, very important, is this and how it influences this. Okay? We need to have those two things. They're 1-2 combination. All right. So let's go back up here for a minute. Let's think about this. Here's an illustration. With Acts number 1, if you've fallen, have you found yourself fallen? Well, yes, I found myself fallen. Well, I'll just get back up. Okay. Gary, what is a dairy of distinction?
That's when a farm has met a certain criteria for the view of the place. You know, how
looks pretty.
Looks beautiful.
It's clean. Yeah. Okay. Well, if you want to get to dairy of distinction, then what do? You work your tail off and you clean. So there you go. Okay, in scenario number 1, if you've fallen, you just get back up. In scenario number 2, if you want to receive the award of dairy of distinction for all you farmers out there, all you do is clean, clean, clean. All right. With scenario number 2, what you understand about your having fallen is that you fell 50,000 feet. And you can't get back up. By the way, your number 50,000, it should be 90,000 or something or higher, because it's an infinite number. You cannot get back up. That's the difference. You realize, wait a minute. In scenario 1, the assumption is, oh, I'll just get right back up. In scenario 2, you realize, I did fall, and I cannot just get back up. So no matter what you do, if you do something, if you find yourself back up there, it wasn't because of your effort, it was because of something else, right? The dairy of distinction? Oh, but what you didn't realize is that you're on a nuclear waste dump. You're not going to clean that up. So, if you receive the award, despite how much cleaning you did, it wasn't on the basis of your cleaning, it was on something else. Relatively clear. This is the difference between the two. The two of them is, one, you can get yourself back. By the way, that's the key. I'll get myself back up. I, myself, will do the cleaning. No, you can't get yourself back up. You, yourself, cannot do the cleaning. That's the difference. All right. What in the world am I thinking? Oh, right. Okay. The difference is what we are basing our justification on. What are you basing it on? All right, now you can use different terms. So for right now, we're just going to camp out with this term basing it, because they use it, we use it, Titus used it. It's not on the basis of our deeds. It's not on the basis of our deeds. It's not on the basis of me actually getting back up. And I might crawl, I might climb, I might try to jump 100 times. And if I actually find myself way back up there, it's not on the basis of me having jumped. If I actually receive the award, it's not on the basis of me having cleaned, because I can't clean myself. Even though God might say, you try to clean yourself, or you clean yourself, or you do this. He might say it, but either case, the basis is not what we have been doing, despite we may be commanded to do that. The basis, no matter what you're commanded, if you're commanded to do nothing or commanded to do everything, the basis is still not what you have done. It is God's work. Is that clear? That needs to be clear. If it's not clear, we need to stop and do it all over and somebody else can teach for me. Because it needs to be relatively clear. More than relatively. All right. Let's look at it again. We're just going to read it again. In a spiritual context, there are two kinds of acts, two subsets, two types. The first type is not prompted or accompanied by faith and is thinking this act itself is the basis for and qualifies me inherently for justification. The second kind of act is prompted by faith in God or accompanied by and is thinking, I have sinned, I'll always fall short, I can never restore myself to be justified. The act itself is not the basis for my justification. The basis is God's mercy and God's grace, but it is a God-given condition for salvation. We've just reviewed. I'm assuming they're there. Now, here's the catch. Oh, by the way, the same actions, but different thoughts. The exact same action. One person is doing one thing, the other person is doing the exact same thing. The difference is they are thinking differently about what they're doing. One Jew is circumcised because he thinks, that's it. Abraham is circumcised because God says, be circumcised. And Abraham says, I know that has nothing to do with my salvation other than God said to be circumcised. Perspective matters. Now here's the kicker. Both of these two subsets of acts are called works in the New Testament. All right, this is where the confusion starts to come in. All right, not only are these, but let's sin itself is called a work. This word work is used 200, the noun and the verb, 200 and something like 207 times or something like that in the New Testament. We're not going to look at them all. But if you look in John 8, if you know some of them believed, and Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and truth will set you free. And they said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved. And he says to them, verse 39, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Verse 41, you are doing the deeds of your father. Deeds is the same word. It should be works. It should be acts is what it should be if we're trying to be consistent. But you're doing the same word of your father. So not only are these works, and these are works, but sinful acts are works also. In fact, turn back to John 5. Yeah, John 5 and verse, where am I? John 6, that's why. John 5 and verse 20. The Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he is himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these. Is God working for salvation? No. Is God working, thinking he's going to work himself inherently into salvation? No. Is God doing sin? No. The point is, this is a fourth way this word is used. But it's still talking about acts. It's just, these are the acts I'm doing. Now, what kind of act are you doing? Are you doing the acts of God? No, we're not. Are you doing the acts of the devil? We had better not be. Are you doing acts thinking that that is going to inherently qualify you? That's the basis? No, it better not be. Right here. These are the acts that we must perform. Ones where we're thinking, no, it's based on faith, but I can't save myself. The basis is God's mercy. Relatively clear. Comment or question, raise your hands. BDAG. Remember, just let me back up one quick. Remember, Norman Geisler said there's two kinds of acts. Okay, I'm not the only one saying this. He's not the only one. Bauer, Danker, Arnton, Gingrich, those are four other people, smart people, who say this is the definition. There are actually three or four, but look at these two. That which displays itself in activity of any kind. A work is an activity of any kind, deed or action. And then number two is that which does one as regular activity. And what he's talking about here, here's the translation equivalent. He's suggesting, look, you can use these words here, is work. That's totally different. There's a just a deed and action that you do anytime, and then there's work. In other words, he's saying there's two kinds also. All right. Again, get this pounded into our heads. Having gotten this pounded into our heads, that there are two kinds, Paul, in the book of Romans and in Galatians and other places, is dealing with number one. That's what he's addressing in the book of Romans. They're saying, look, we don't have to have faith in Jesus. We're inherently qualified because of our circumcision. And Paul is saying, no, you're not. That's what he's dealing with case number one. Let's make a side point. What he says, is that not clear? Are you with me? Okay. So what he says, because this is taking a step at a time, what Paul says about works of the law of Moses is not limited to works of the law of Moses. Let me illustrate it this way. The Jew who thinks he's saved because he is circumcised, whatever was wrong with that, apply that to the Christian or the person who thinks they're saved because I've been baptized. You can have the same thing. I've been baptized. Not thinking this baptism isn't, it's just a symbol, 1 Peter 3:21. It's trusting in God, calling on Him for a clean. That's what saves you. No, no, no. I've been dunked. The guy who's been dunked, the gal, and we've seen them all too, right? The guy or gal who's been dunked is guilty of the very same thing that Paul is accusing the Jews of. There are two laws, law of Moses, law of Christ. You can do the same abuse to each one. All right. Remember, Paul says, we're not saved on the basis of our works. We have to do them, but we're not saved on the basis of them.
All right, so I have a question. A moment ago, you said something about Abraham did it because he knew he was supposed to, though he knew it had no effect on his... It didn't save him. Circumcision. So a person understands no more than they need to be baptized to be saved. They're relying on that to an extent. I mean, they're relying on God to be telling them the truth. How do you make compatible that concept with what you just said?
Okay. The purpose of circumcision was not to remove sin.
Okay.
The purpose of baptism is to remove sin. You know, for the sake of our conversation, I wrestle with somebody who was baptized just because of obedience, and they didn't think they were saved before it. Somebody who says, no, I don't think I was saved before it. Well, why were you baptized? Because God says so. Because it's for the forgiveness of sins? No, that's not why. That might be true, but I was baptized because God says so. Were you baptized before that? No. Or were you saved before that? No. Okay, I have a problem accepting that because of Acts 19. Now, I might be the only one in here that thinks that. But Acts 19 pounds home to me, you must know what you're thinking when you're being baptized. In fact, somebody who's being baptized and doesn't know it's for forgiveness of sins kind of misses the whole thing. That's where I stand on that.
So for the sake of our conversation,
yep,
I paid for other people, I equated the circumcision and Abraham's obedience with baptism and our obedience and no more. And you would not necessarily equate those two.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
Good.
That's also an answer.
Okay, good. You're right. So we understand what we're coming to terms now. Now we get to argue about who's got the right interpretation. Now we've just come to terms. Okay. So, however, this principle does apply. All right, very good. Now, here's the point. This is where we're going to with all of this. This is where we're going to. To assert no obedience to any law is necessary for initial or forensic justification, or no acts, no works too. Remember, to assert down here, Paul is dealing with up here. To assert the same thing of these acts is to go too far. It is called, well, all right. Remember, Paul is addressing these, not these. And so to apply what is said of these to what is said of these is a class or categorical fallacy. Okay? Let me say this. You have a car. All cars without headlights are dangerous to drive. Jonathan, who's not all there upstairs, he's got a car with headlights, and he doesn't drive it. Why not, Jonathan? Because all cars without headlights are dangerous to drive. Well, yours has headlights. As you see, it's very clear there. I hope it is, at least. Look, when Jonathan applies to cars with headlights, what is said about cars without headlights, he makes a mistake. No, no, Jonathan. Your car has headlights. It's fine. Oh. He goes to 4 years of school and finally figures that out. Okay. All right. The same thing here. The same thing. Look, Paul is talking about one kind of acts. And when you make the jump to the other and apply what is said of this to that one, then you have gone too far. By the way, it might be true of these, but you won't prove it from what Paul says about these kinds of acts. Okay? All right. Paul is contrasting faith in Jesus with meritorious works, not faith in Jesus with non-meritorious works. Okay? And to apply what is said of one to the other is a class fallacy. Okay. Now, having said all that, John MacArthur, for example, says on chapter 3, verse 21, it is entirely apart from, quote-unquote, any obedience to any law. And he has just committed the fallacy. He said, oh, Paul's talking about this, and I'm going to apply it to every kind of act that there is. Remember, there are two kinds of acts. Paul was talking about one, and John MacArthur and everybody else applies it to the rest. That is the mistake that they make. And that is where we have to think clearly. And by the way, remember Geisler said in the beginning, all works are actions, but not all actions are works? You know, in the New Testament, you could actually say all works are works, but not all works are works. You could, using the language. What's the point? We've got to be careful. And we've got to be thinking clearly. Wait, which way is he using it here? Like, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful? Wait a minute. Not all things are lawful. So he's using it a certain way. All things are lawful, but not all things are lawful. You could, if you take the whole scripture and put it together, you come up with all things are lawful, but not all things are lawful. So it's confusing. It could be confusing if you don't know the context and whatnot. All right. Is this been clear so far? If it's not, we can do the whole thing again, slower, with somebody else, lots more from John or somebody else. You can get the notes, talk about it later. If it is relatively clear, then there's a test. Here's the first quote that I put up. You'll recognize it. Obfuscate is to make obscure, to obfuscate the issue, and to be evasive, unclear, or confusing. Two words, equivocate. To use equivocal, that's not fair to use the word in the definition, having two or more possible meanings. By the way, this is from Merriam-Webster Online. Language, especially with the intent to deceive. Now, I'm not saying that John MacArthur has the intent to deceive, but who is behind what he's saying? Somebody who is the deceiver, okay? He has the intent. So here's John MacArthur. You've read this before. Broadening his argument from Abraham to all men. The apostle here makes it clear that the forensic act of declaring a man righteous, that's initial justification, what we would say happens at our baptism, they wouldn't, but we would, is completely apart from any kind of human work. If salvation were on the basis of one's own effort, God would owe salvation as a debt, but salvation is always a sovereignly given gift of God's grace, 3:24 Ephesians 2:8-9, to those who believe. Since faith is contrasted with work, faith must mean the end of any attempt to earn God's favor through personal merit. There are probably 1,000 different ways we can go with this. I picked one that is most glaringly obvious to me with my thin or thick head, whichever way you want to look at it. What's wrong with this? And let's not go to Acts. Let's not go to Ephesians. Just what's wrong? What did he do? What fallacy did he commit in this very statement? Okay, that's one. How?
Right off. He said, but it's a sovereign gift of God, it's nothing a man can do. It's to all those who believe. What is believe called in the Bible?
Right.
A work.
Right. Where would you turn?
John 6.
I said we won't turn because I wasn't thinking of that one. Yeah, John 6 calls faith a work. Remember a couple weeks ago, Norman Geisler, the moderate Calvinist, also called it a work. If you remember that, trust me, you'll see it again. Anybody? Anything else?
He has to jump, like you were talking about earlier with the two different kinds of works. He makes a jump right there. Declaring a man righteous is apart from any kind of human work.
Okay.
He makes it like any kind.
Right.
You can't do anything at all.
Okay. Okay. So, you're probably thinking of something else in your head. And it's probably right. But what I'm talking about right here is what we've been talking about so far in this usage of the word work. Let's remember, in the Bible, the word works is used of both meritorious and non-meritorious. Okay, having said that, if by work he means only meritorious acts, we agree with him. Salvation is not by merit. It's not. If that's what he means, only meritorious acts, then we agree 100% with him. However, we all understand that's not what he means, right? He is making the jump and including non-meritorious works. That's what they do. Non-meritorious, I should have the word acts up there to be clearer. Okay? He's including that. And we can't agree with him because the Bible doesn't say no obedience. The Bible does say not meritorious. Remember Romans 4:16. For this reason is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. Yes, you can't work yourself into it. That way it falls right into the system. It's God's grace. So no meritorious works. But God's grace does not eliminate non-meritorious works. Not necessarily. Maybe somewhere in the Bible it says no non-meritorious works either. If it says that, then we understand that's true. But it doesn't say that. Comment or question on this? Maybe somebody else has something else. I wanted to run through that because that's what we've been talking about.
So you've got your little yellow circle there for the word work.
Yes.
And that would equate to him directly paralleling that. Yeah, one's own effort or at the bottom, I have to earn God's favor through personal merit. That's what he's joined
right
together in this particular paragraph.
Right, and everywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
But since this is when you got...
Yep. You know, you can read the John MacArthur or listen to him and you'll understand that I'm not just taking this out of context for him. Okay. Remember, he's a faith. By the way, this all has to do with faith only. Faith only, which will maybe, I don't know how much time we have. I know how much time we have. I don't know how much. Okay. The reality is the Calvinist dogmatically limits work, non-work, and non-meritorious acts to belief. Belief is the only non-meritorious... Belief is an act, and it is the only non-meritorious act. All others, every other one, is meritorious. That's what they think it. What the others get you is different positions in heaven. Okay? You're initially... The initial justification is by belief alone, and it is the only non-meritorious act. Well, usually they do, because, for example... Oh, I'm sorry. John MacArthur, faith is not a meritorious work. It is never the ground of justification. It is simply the channel through which it is received, and it too is a gift. See the note on Ephesians 2:8. I say usually that is because Norman Geisler says, well, for salvation, by the way, Norman Geisler is a faith-only person. Look what he says. He catches himself, whoops, or he didn't catch himself. One must confess. Paul insists. One must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Romans 10:9. Oops, he let it slip in there. So another, if you must believe and confess, and it is not meritorious, then confession is also a non-meritorious act. But he won't say that. He'll say faith is the only non-meritorious act. He is inconsistent with himself, and of course he's inconsistent with the Bible. You want to say?
No.
Okay. I'll move on. No, well, Norman Geisler, by the way, on Ephesians 2:8, Norman Geisler, Ephesians 2:8 is not faith that is God's gift. And we agree with that. So in other words, what we have here is a moderate Calvinist arguing with a strong Calvinist, and that is the difference. One is, God gives you the faith. That's the strong Calvinist. The other is, no, God doesn't give it to you. You obtain your own faith. So let them go and argue when they come back. The Bible... Neither are confession, repentance, or baptism. The ground. Remember, he said that the ground of faith is not the ground. Yes, you're right. It's not the ground. It's not the basis. Remember this word that we're using? It is not the basis. It is condition. The basis of our salvation, of our justification, is God's mercy. And that will never change. That is the only basis there is. Everything else is just a condition. Faith is a condition, not the basis. Well, neither is confession, repentance, or baptism the ground. By the way, the only ground, the only basis is God's grace, thus leaving all faithful acts to be non-meritorious. Every single act there is, as long as you have the right perspective. And that is, only God can save us. But, he did say to do this. Clear? Ish? All right, let's go on just for a minute, and then we won't do this ever again. Calvinists dogmatically work non-meritorious acts. The Bible does not work. Limit them. I'd cite a passage, but let's let them cite any passage that supports faith is the only non-meritorious act. You won't find that passage, because all acts, when they're accompanied by faith, are non-meritorious. Okay, John 6:29, you referred to it earlier. Faith is an act, and it's a work. Same word. Faith is a work. Okay, we'll skip that. They also assert that any conditional act subverts God's grace. Thus is, by definition, a meritorious act, not by grace alone. Geisler, if the performance of works is necessary, by the way, just use the word act there, okay, for our... Now, he doesn't know what he's talking about, but let's use the word acts. Acts is necessary for the maintenance of my salvation. How can I avoid the conclusion that but I'm saved by my good works? Another quote. It makes no difference whether or not a work is prompted by grace. Let's take this out and use the word act, because that's really what he means. If the accomplishment of meritorious work is a condition for eternal life, then salvation is not solely based on God's grace. Well, we agree with that. If it is an accomplishment of a meritorious work, then we agree with that. But not all conditions are meritorious. If it's accompanied by faith, it's non-meritorious. Okay. Equivocation, work, and again, he does it here. See, work, which is just can be anything, and then he jumps right to meritorious work. They always come to the table with one definition of work. One definition, and it's a limited definition. There's another way to get equivocation. We agree. Okay. However, and this is where I'm going to, a non-meritorious act may be a condition, and salvation still be solely on God's grace. Because conditions alone do not mitigate the nature of grace. Grace is that word for give. Sometimes it's grace, sometimes it's give. Gift is the word Dorian. Okay, so sometimes that's a different one. But here's the point. Joshua, the walls of Jericho. It says in Joshua 6:16, God has given you the city. So they didn't have to do anything, did they? Because it's a gift, and it's from God. So they didn't have to do anything. You read the whole Bible, and you come up with this over and over and over. 1 Peter, and I'm skipping this, 1 Peter 2:18, slaves, be submissive to your masters, for this finds favor, grace, if... Oh, wait, I thought grace from God is always unconditional. What's this big fat if doing right there? Okay? Now, that's the Bible. Geisler himself. Let's just skip to this last one. Remember, he's the guy that said a minute ago, if it's a condition, it's non-meritorious. Well, he, answering the strong Calvinist, makes the same case we make. Wait, if it's a condition, it's not necessarily meritorious. His illustration, faith exercised to receive the gift of salvation is not a work. Rather, salvific belief is the admission that we cannot work for God's gift. Amen. But must accept it by pure grace. Amen. What is more, the act of receiving a gift by faith, he limited it to faith alone, but it's true of everything, is no more meritorious than a beggar receiving a handout. The act of faith in receiving unconditional salvation accrues no merit to us. All praise and glory goes to the giver of every food and perfect gift. Sorry, that was written in there really quickly. But we say the exact same thing. He has the principle. He just has to expand it to, it's more than faith alone. That's a mouthful. Any comments or questions? We'll go for another minute if we need to. Yeah, George.
So, Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about the one. Your guys up here said something about how can I conclude that if I have to maintain myself? Paul talks about how, if for no other reason, and these are all good reasons, for the benefit of the church, the benefit of your personal growth, we are obligated once we become Christians because Christ died for us and we live for Christ, that we are supposed to continue doing the works that Christ would have done. And I guess that's how I would reply. You know, I mean, we're supposed to, by the fact that these things happen, we have other purposes to accomplish. Not necessarily salvation to accomplish, but other things that are accomplished by these works, and they're necessary. That's not necessarily for salvation.
Okay, I lost you in there, but I don't need to... If somebody else got you, then it was edifying. No, it's because I'm trying to think of some other thing. It's a case of not exactly listening at the same time. But everybody else got it. Yeah, John.
I think it's helpful to see the two things here. One of them is an act of merit, and another one is an act of obedience.
Right.
And that's how the Bible treats these two things. to be obedient is not an act of merit.
Right.
It's still obedience. And right. Can we please God without obeying him? Of course not.
Right. Right. Of course, they will say obedience is prompted by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which you received by grace.
Right.
So, and then we'll say, no, it's not. You know, and we're into another whole, oh, the next class, right? I'll skip the next class for now.
The other is, you know, the idea that they've run too far with something. You take the Jews, they take the law of Moses. What did they miss? They missed the faith part.
Right.
As they ran with it, they missed the faith part. John Calvin, he was trying to pull out of the Catholic Church. He swung way over. He kind of missed something. And they ran with it and gone even further. Mm-hmm. We got to be careful.
Yeah, yes.
Not to run too far.
Right.
Come back. Keep yourself in check.
Paul is dealing with works without faith. James is dealing with faith without works. And if you put them together, you have a faith that works. And that's where we got to stand in our doctrine and in our practice. Apparently somebody's back there. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else? Good. I'm sorry to put you through it, but you did well. Nobody wants to throw anything at me and your eyes aren't glazed yet. We'll break till 5 after. Thank you for your work.